Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In this weekend's gospel, we pick up exactly where we left off last week. Remember last week, we were with the apostles and Jesus in the upper room celebrating the Last Supper, and Jesus begins this lengthy discourse for his apostles, teaching them everything that they need to know about the faith. Well, this weekend, it picks up exactly where we left off. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love." Jesus announces to the apostles and to us that the source of his love for us is the love that he has between the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian love. Inasmuch as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit love one another, now we are being invited into that love ourselves. That's why Jesus says, "Live in his love and remain in my love." Well, it's a great invitation for all of us to now remain and live in that Trinitarian community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in order for us to remain in that love, it requires something of us on our part. What is it? Jesus tells us, "If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love." Well, what is required is that we live a life faithful and always following the commandments of Christ. And this cuts to the very heart of his message. If we truly expect to be called a disciple of Jesus Christ and to live and remain in Jesus' love, then it means that we must do something, and that doing is following the commandments every day of our life. Jesus continues. He says, "Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Jesus' entire life was based upon doing the will of the Father. He never did his own will. It was always the will of the Father. That's why he says, "Just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Jesus always followed the will of the Father, and therefore always remained in the Father's love. What's the implication here? Jesus is telling us that if we want to replicate the relationship that Jesus has with the Father and the Holy Spirit, if we truly want that relationship with Christ, well, it requires that we follow the will of the Father also. Essentially, Jesus is telling us and the apostles, or better yet, he's pointing to himself and he's saying, "Look at me and imitate me. As I follow the will of the Father and remained in his love, now you must do the same." Now, what does this love look like between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, it's a loving mutuality shown by unconditional observance of the commandments. See, this is why Jesus is telling us this and why it is so important for us to understand. Jesus continues. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete." Jesus followed the will of the Father and he received joy from it, especially from that relation of oneness with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was always obedient to the Father's will, and in doing so, it was a source of joy for him. Therefore, if we truly want joy, purpose, and meaning in life, then we must listen to the words of Jesus and act upon them. Follow the commandments always, and we will receive Jesus' joy, and our joy will be complete. Notice again what he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete." If we keep God's commandments, yes, our joy will be complete. And it's precisely in keeping God's commandments that we are invited into that love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We become a living extension of the Trinitarian community. Again, what does that look like, that love? St. Augustine once said, love God and then do whatever you want to do. Love God and then do whatever you want to do. Well, I'm sure some of us, upon hearing that, say, you know, I've been waiting to hear that all my life. I love God, and now I can run around and do whatever I want, especially entering into a life of maybe debauchery. Well, that's not exactly what St. Augustine was getting at. What St. Augustine meant was, if we truly love God, essentially, we position our life such that our lives are ordered to God and God alone. Jesus is teaching, his sacraments, his lifestyle, his doctrine and dogma all become part of our own makeup, part of our own identity, such that our actions are the actions of Christ, our words are the words of Christ, our thoughts and our ideas are the thoughts and ideas of Christ, such that if we truly love God, we're always following the will of the Father, exactly like Jesus did. See, then we can always do whatever we want to do, because it'll always be in accordance with God's will. Now, it begs the question, how does Jesus love us? Well, I would say in many different ways. First, he loves us through his word. Go back to the story of creation. How does God create us and this entire universe? By his very word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and it came to be. God's very word created this universe and us. His word has a creative power associated with it. And his word, motivated by love and love alone for us, created everything, including ourselves. How else does God love us? Well, through humility. Jesus strips himself of all of his glory, is born into our world, takes on our human nature, motivated by love to save us. How else does God show us his love? By his teaching. Jesus teaches us the Beatitudes, the two greatest commandments, teaches us how to live our faith, and he teaches us how to forgive one another. And yet, the greatest love that Jesus shows us is his own sacrifice, dying on the cross. That's why he says in the gospel, there is no greater love than for one to lay down their life for another. See, the love that Jesus has for us has no limitations. There's no extent to which Jesus will go to save us, even laying down his own life. See, now we begin to understand Jesus' command at the end of this gospel passage, when he tells us, this is my command for you, love one another. Again, this gets at the very heart of his message. And yet, what's the inherent problem that most of us have? Well, we must understand that word love. You know, we think of it as a feeling or an emotion. If we truly believe that, well, it's very difficult for us to follow Jesus' command of loving one another. We think to ourselves, well, we have to fall in love with every person in this world. If that were true, we would be an emotional basket case. But that's not true. I think what we need to do is turn to St. Thomas Aquinas. He, I think, gives us the best definition of what love is in sacred scripture. Aquinas will say, when you hear that word love, you know, mentioned by Jesus or Paul or Peter or the apostles or in the Old Testament, love, according to sacred scripture, is to will the good of another. I'll say that again. Love, according to sacred scripture, is to will the good of another. I'll give you a great example. You're in the grocery store. You're waiting in line to check out. You have a person in front of you, a person behind you in line. You can turn to either of those persons. They may be complete strangers, and you can love them. You can will the good for them. You can say to them, I will the best life and the best health for you. I will the best marriage and the best family for you. I will you the best career, and I will pray for you. I will counsel you. I will talk with you. I will do anything possible that you may have the best in life. See, now you have just loved that person, and you have followed Jesus' command. That's why we can love, especially our enemies. We can will the best for them. Jesus continues. He says, I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. Well, now Jesus tells us the quality of his love. It is the greatest we'll ever experience. It is the greatest love in any of this entire world. The love of Christ surpasses all other love that we'll have in our life. Jesus teaches us now the priority of his love. Through no act of our own will are we invited into this Trinitarian community of love, but instead it's an invitation from God himself. Jesus now calls us his friends. His love is without any limitation. But what's the implication here for us? As friends of Christ, we must now honor that relationship always. Therefore, we have a duty and a responsibility to always make sure to nurture and grow that relationship. How do we do it? Through an active prayer life, an active sacramental life, corporal and spiritual works of mercy, studying Scripture, studying the doctrine and dogma of our church. Those are just a few ways in which we are nurturing and growing our friendship with Christ. I'll leave you with just one last thing. Jesus says, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." The very heart of the spiritual life is this, the recognition that we are chosen by God to enter into a relationship. You know, it's that classic story of God's call of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I dedicated you, a prophet to all the nations." See, that is the level of intimacy that God desires for each and every one of us. The initiative always lies with Christ. From the very beginning of creation throughout all of salvation history, it is God who seizes the initiative, God who chooses us, God who calls out after us. Why? So that we may bear fruit and remain in his love. And that's all that God wants from each and every one of us. And we can do it. If we keep his commandments, then yes, we will remain in God's love. And yes, our joy will be the joy of Christ, and our joy will always be complete because of the love of Christ has filled us up and will always be there for all of eternity. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.